I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brent and Danny, welcome in and thanks much for listening to the show as always on this Wednesday. January is 13 days old in 2021. You are locked into 106.7 The Fan, and we appreciate you being with us. We are alongside until 6:30 tonight. Should let you know that while we've got a great show and some good guests coming along the way today, lots to get into, including the latest on Washington's search for a general manager with Nikki Javala in 1 hour at 3 o'clock. Excited that we just found out within the last hour or so, we'll be talking with Washington football team president Jason Wright tomorrow on the show at 4:25, so make a note of that, that tomorrow on this program, you just heard from Ron Rivera, we will have Jason Wright with us in the 4 o'clock hour.
Very cool. Couldn't be more impressive, that guy. He just sort of blown away first time we talked to him. You know, he hadn't even been on the job yet, like didn't even have an office, and he was kind enough to give us a few minutes and kind of run us through his thought process right after he was hired and, you know, answered everything as directly and honestly and was forthcoming as he possibly could have been without, again, not even having a nameplate on his door just yet. So looking forward to having Jason on. Last night, GP, one of those slow sports nights. NHL gets underway tonight, which is good. A little bit of college hoops going on. But I happened to check out the Brooklyn Nets and Denver Nuggets. Why is that significant to Washington, D.C. radio? Well, it's not really, unless you start to talk about this. Kevin Durant had a wonderful all-around game last night. 34 points, 9 boards, 13 assists. That's not noteworthy enough to lead the show with it. Here's what is noteworthy. He is now the 28th all-time leading scorer in NBA history. Last night he passed, how about this threesome, Elgin Baylor, Dwayne Wade, and Adrian Dantley. Right? He moved up from 32nd all the way up to 28th in the NBA's all-time scoring list. The reason that's really significant for folks that are from this area and know Hoopheads, he is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer from the Washington, D.C. metro area. You got Allen Iverson up at 25, who's, you know, Hampton Roads, kind of Virginia Beach down there. And there's some folks that are fairly close, Carmelo Anthony, Baltimore, and you got some greats from that region. But he's already passed David Robinson, Hall of Famer, Osborne Park, United States Naval Academy. And he just passed Adrian Dantley, local, Elgin Baylor, local, last night. So number one all-time in this rich basketball area, Kevin Durant, your number one scorer in D.C. history in the NBA.
Deservedly so, makes sense. He'll go down as the greatest player, I think, ever from this area, at least in terms of what he's going to accomplish in the NBA. I want to, without picking a nit, kind of double-check on your ruling, though, your clarification. So we are saying Allen Iverson, because we're saying Virginia Beach is not the D.C. area, does not count, is what you're telling me.
So, now,
because I've had this debate. The reason I asked this,
I don't have a definitive answer here.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the Bethesda bullpen, as we call it, but basically like where all the cubicles are before you go out to the TV studio at NBC Sports Washington. And I remember getting into this debate with someone, what is the quote-unquote DMV? And it's kind of related to this. I said, to me, the DMV is, it's kind of the greater D.C. area. They said, well, is it just the states? Like, is King George County in the DMV where you're from in Virginia? It's still Maryland. It's still Virginia. It's still D.C. But I think of the DMV almost as the greater Washington, D.C. area, because otherwise – Baltimore, by definition, is in the DMV.
It's closer.
Yeah, and I don't think of Baltimore as DMV at all. So I actually like your ruling here, counselor. I think that what you're doing is correct, which is to say D.C. area and Virginia Beach wouldn't qualify. Like, people get mad a lot of the time when we talk about locals. And I say, in the tournament this year, you've got these locals. And if I leave out a school that a lot of our listeners went to, whether that's Virginia Tech or UVA right. or something like that.
Yeah. Virginia Tech 6 hours away.
I'm like, I was talking about American. You know, I was talking about George Mason University right off Braddock Road in Fairfax. Local to me is Georgetown. Like, that's local. But what does DMV mean? Is it all three? Is it the two states and the entire Commonwealth and the district? What is it?
So I don't know that this would hold up in a court of law, but the way I always think about it is, can you hear me without being on the stream? Can you hear Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye? Can you hear the Junkies? Can you hear Pete Matters? Can you hear the Nationals games without going on the stream? If you can hear our signal, you're in the DMV. So that's going to be a little bit outside the Beltway. That's going to be a little bit maybe further west, a little bit further south than it is north and east, right? Because Baltimore's got their own thing. Baltimore's Baltimore to me. And when you start to get about halfway between D.C. and Baltimore, now you're sort of fighting over territory, but that's just as much a Baltimore suburb as you are a suburb of Washington, D.C. But Northern Virginia, there's much more expansive, right? Everywhere from, you know, Leesburg and sort of points beyond that down into Woodbridge and places like that. So you can go much further south and even west and still be in the D.C. area than I think you can go north and east, because then you start to get into conflict with Baltimore. But to me, I think Virginia Beach is Virginia Beach. I think Baltimore is Baltimore. So for my little definition here, Kevin Durant from PG County, number one all time.
I like it. Congrats to Durant. He's a dude. I will tell you that when it behooves me in the future, I'm going to claim Iverson, though, as one of our own. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Like, in a few minutes, I will, yeah.
Right, exactly. For the moment, I'll give you that, and I'll say, yeah, that's true, it's Virginia Beach. But then, like, on a national scale, when we start talking about who's from where, if I need to claim Allen Iverson to help myself, I'm going to claim Allen Iverson.
I mean, Carmelo's all the way up at 14th. I'm gonna use that in an argument at some point. Right. Patrick yeah. Ewing, don't worry about where he's from. He went to Georgetown, baby.
Correct. So I will, the goalposts will move as I need them to on this. Don't worry about that. I guess I'll start with my first thought on the show today would be an epiphany, which is the last couple of days getting to do afternoon drives now. I've been sitting at home watching sport in the afternoon. We put Madam President down for her nap around noon. That's generally when I go downstairs and start to lock in on the show. There is nothing on TV during the day.
That's correct.
What do people watch? And you can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson or tweet Danny at Funny Danny. But for those of you that are home during the day, I mean, no wonder why our numbers were so good. People just listen to our stream and stare at the wall. There's nothing on TV in middays. It's unbelievable. I remember staying home from school occasionally, and, like, my mom would watch awful shows one after another, Live with Regis and Kelly at the time, and then it would be, like, not the View, but the one before The View, the chatty chew. The Conversation. It's always the and then something. I mean, it's just terrible shows. And then, from a sports standpoint, you know about all of the let's sit across from Stephen A. Smith and yell about things that don't matter and make up fake conversations. I don't even care about those. Those are irrelevant. But what I have found is I watch Good Morning Football's replay. Like, that airs for, like, 7 straight hours every day on NFL Network.
Yeah, they mix it in. They're not scared.
Until 1 o'clock. There's nothing on TV to watch. I'm thinking I'll just sit at home and learn something about sport. Sports Center doesn't really exist anymore. They don't do highlights from the night before. It's crazy to me. I don't know what I was doing in the past in the mornings, but I guess that was my time to play dad. And now I'm just sitting here going, all right, the programming during the day for sports fans is just bad.
Leaves a lot to be desired is what I will say. Again, day baseball should always be a day baseball game on.
Definitely.
Somehow, some way, make that happen, Rob Manfred. Get something right. Get some goodwill going here in 2021. Put a day baseball game on. What else is ESPN doing at noon besides re-airing Mike Greenberg going, now let me throw to my 17th panelist, is James Harden a distraction? Yeah, Greeny. No, Greeny. Yes, Greeny. Maybe Greeny. Enough. Put a live baseball game on, please and thank you.
Day college basketball? I'll watch day cornhole. I mean, something.
Go on.
Just give me something. I might just start putting on a movie channel, finding an old movie on HBO or something. It is tough. It's hard out here.
Hot out here.
As our former producer, AJ Ataye, once said.
Said out loud.
Never forget. It's hard out here. All right, let's get to the games this weekend. This is a great place to start and launch the show today. I want to rank the four games being played in the divisional round with you, 1 through 4. And I want to see if your rankings and mine are the same, where they differ. But also, we'll open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines here in a minute and see what people's favorite game is on the slate this weekend of the four that you have. So we can open up the phones at 800-636-1067. You can give us a call now. That's 800-636-1067. Start with your number one game of the divisional round.
Give me Tampa. Give me New Orleans. I know New Orleans has given Tampa the business two times this year. It's the backdrop, man. It's these two quarterbacks combining for 141 years of experience between them, numbers approximate. It's these two teams that know each other very well. The talent is oozing. They do it in a bunch of completely different ways at this point. And I am riveted by this matchup. It's the closer for the weekend, Tampa and New Orleans, mostly because of the two quarterbacks going at each other, maybe for the final time, given what Drew Brees has gone through physically. And who knows how many years Tom Brady has left. He'll be a Vince Evans-type figure playing until he's 50-something, it looks like. But that backdrop of the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks makes it my number one game of the weekend.
Brady is 43. Makes Drew Brees look like he's got 5 years left. That's what's amazing, by the way, is you think of Brady, who could play maybe for four more years. Brees has been limping to the finish line for the last couple because of his shoulder. But he's the younger of the two at 41 years old.
Right.
Number one all-time and number two all-time in passing yards and in touchdowns. These two guys combined 159,000 yards and over 1,050 touchdowns collectively. I actually slide that game lower down my list, though. I've got my number one game. You're going with the old matchup of great quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'll go with the new young guard, and that is Baltimore and Buffalo. Ravens and Bills in the AFC. I love this game on Saturday. This is two of the five passers that were drafted in the first round in 2018. Baker Mayfield went one. Obviously, Sam Darnold went early in that draft, as did Josh Rosen. But the other two guys playing in this game, Josh Allen, the seventh overall pick out of Wyoming, and Lamar Jackson. What a brilliant move by Baltimore to go up into the first round with pick number 32 to get an extra year of control, knowing they were going to possibly try to trade up and get him at the start of the second round. If you're going to take a QB early in the second, you should probably just take him,
in the first. Yep.
If you're right on that quarterback, you're able to extend their contract by a year if you take him in the top 32, and that's what they did. Jackson won the MVP award in 2019. Allen's not going to win it this year, but if we did it baseball style where there are three finalists, he would be one of them and may well finish the runner-up at this point to Aaron Rodgers, although I think he'll finish third with Pat Mahomes playing the meat in that sandwich. But Baltimore and Buffalo, I haven't been this excited for a game all season. I think it could be outstanding.
I like that one, and it kills me that it ends up third on my list.
What?
And I love that game. I love that game. There are three games that I really, really, really like, and then there's the fourth game that's also going to take place this weekend that I don't love anywhere near as much. Here's my favorite thing in sports. I don't want to say my favorite thing, because my favorite thing is Team USA winning.
I was going to say, your favorite thing in sports. This is a bit. Let me jump in on this for a second.
Oh, come on.
We have to. We just have to.
There's no reason to hammer me on this.
Well, I'm not going to hammer you on it. I'm just going to point out, Danny loves to say something is his favorite thing in sports, and there he's got 20 favorite things in sports over the years.
It's just so many favorite things.
But tell the story of the last time, very publicly, that you said something was your favorite thing in sports.
So we're in the booth with John Walton, right? And it's like to promote the midday show. How long ago is this? And nobody's ever heard of us, and we're trying to get a new audience, so during the Caps game. And we're up there. We're going to be up there for half a period or whatever. And just time keeps going. And the puck's in the corner. The puck's out front. Here's somebody you've never heard of. Here's an Eastern European name with 17 V's in it. Oh, and the shot is. And we're like, we haven't talked in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. He's like, okay, there's a pause on the action. Great. And Danny, what do you like in sports? And I'm like, I love the Olympic hockey tournament.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Everything. I just blurted it out right before the puck drop, and he gets right back to calling it. And it was so cringeworthy, and it was so awkward, and it was so over
pandering.
The top.
It was just
yeah, it
such
was,
a pander
it was pathetic.
Job.
It
Danny,
was pathetic. Now, I do enjoy it, but it's so much.
He likes the Olympic hockey tournament. Fine. Like the
rest. It's the best thing we have. Is it, Danny?
I don't even know why it came up, but John Walton's like, so what's your guys' favorite event in sports? And Danny's like, well, for me, it's anything hockey. If it's at the youth level.
Oh, stop it.
Over
no,
at the St.
No,
James.
No.
If it's at the high school level, I like to go watch some high school pickup games in Chantilly. You know, and he's just putting over hockey so much. It was,
no, it's
because
it was coming
incredible.
Up or something, or maybe it was even going on. I can't remember. But it was, so, I mean, it was cringeworthy. It was so pandering. It's, you know, it's, again, we talked about it. It's that cheap pop wrestling promo, hockey
yep.
audience talking about Team USA hockey. And I'm like, it's the greatest thing we have in sports, John. And you look at me like, what are you talking about? Ben Raby, who had to give up his seat so we could stand there, is like, I think that was a fraudulent answer. Like, and then he went and did his update.
I'm pretty sure Danny would rather watch something on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's very,
I think
very
Danny
slim
was
chance
fibbing.
He would watch that at all.
Well, we agree there. It is the greatest thing in sports. The puck drops. I mean,
the approval rating skyrocketed with hockey fans after that. Oh, all right, so your second game. Sorry.
Sports. Contrasting styles. I like it when there is the immovable object against the unstoppable force. I like it when a great offense, when an unbelievably good offense goes up against an unbelievably good defense or vice versa. I love that. That's what we have in this Rams-Green Bay game. Maybe the greatest to ever do it in Aaron Rodgers. It is a crying shame he only has one Super Bowl to his credit. He should have probably three or four more. I think we're finding out more and more about Mike McCarthy. Not that good of a football coach, and I think they squandered a lot of Aaron Rodgers' time, but I digress. That offense is amazing, mostly because Rodgers is a maestro. Matt LaFleur, cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur, is excellent as a head coach. They design great stuff. This Rams defense is absolutely excellent. It's as good as you can be, I think, with the current rules and the like. They are havoc wreakers. They lock you down. They take away things that you do really well. This Rams offense is kind of limping into things. And this defense is carrying them down the stretch. And here comes Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I can't wait for that matchup.
Yeah, I guess personally, if this was just about my own feelings and my own life, this game would be number one because of how well I got to know these two guys when I covered Washington's beat. And I learned as much football as them than anybody I've ever been around, to be honest with you. Getting to hang around them, not only at the facility, but at events, out and about. These are two terrific people who got great opportunities in Los Angeles and Green Bay, respectively, and who have made the most of them. McVay obviously got to a Super Bowl within his first couple of years. LaFleur got to the NFC Championship game last year and is a win away as a favorite this weekend from doing that for a second time in two seasons. Nobody outworks these two guys. That's what I love about them. I mean, both of them are 20-hour a day. You can't beat them to the office. You're not going to go home after them kind of coaches. And it's how they got where they did at their ages. And so I pull for both of them. But the reason I actually like this game at number two, aside from my own selfishness, is it's the number one scoring offense and the number one scoring defense. And it's the number one defense in terms of yardage in the Rams. And the number two offense in terms of yards per play in the Packers tied with the Chiefs. Now, I say number two, but I'm going to put an asterisk by that. The Texans were number one. I don't really think the Texans had as good of an offense as the Packers and the Chiefs did. With all apologies to Deshaun Watson, who's marvelous. They were down in so many games that it got a little
That's
easier
right.
for them to move the football. So, effectively, this is the best defense versus the best offense all year long, certainly in the conference and probably in all of football. And I'll always sign up for that. I've got the Bucs and the Saints, which you've already referenced, third for me. So, we probably just flipped the Baltimore-Buffalo games. It sounds like that's your third game as well. The reason the Bucs and the Saints is fun is because of that quarterback matchup. I also like the storyline, Danny, of trying to beat a team three times. I think that's really, really hard to do. I'm not telling you I'm not jacked up for this game because I think it could be great. But I like the other two better. What didn't favor Baltimore-Buffalo cracking the top two for you? Why did you slide it down?
It's less about that game not being great because everything you said I agree with. I just am a little bit more intrigued by the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks at the end of the ride. This contrasting styles in the Rams and Green Bay Packers. And then it's almost like a 1C, right, when you talk Baltimore-Buffalo. The way Baltimore's been playing, defensively, they're excellent. I think they're going to give Buffalo fits at times. But I think Buffalo's offense is good enough to find a way to punch through. Can they slow down Lamar Jackson, this unbelievable running attack? And are there enough plays, magical plays, basically, in Lamar Jackson to keep them in this game? Because I don't think you can win a shootout with Buffalo, right? That's just not how you're designed. It's got to be a little bit more grinded out, and Buffalo can get up-tempo on you a little bit. They can take chunk plays after chunk plays after chunk plays against almost any defense in this league. It's a really intriguing matchup. But, again, I'm a little bit more excited about those other couple. So, finally, Cleveland-Kansas City, Jeeps. Maybe I'm missing this here, but I feel like the ride is over for Cleveland. Awesome story, a lot of fun. You got your playoff win. You're there for the first time in decades. You had to do it without your head coach. That's really cute. Now you got to go to the adult's house. Now you got to go see the King Snake here. Not some flawed group that's asking itself existential questions about who they want to be over the next couple of seasons in Pittsburgh. This is the Chiefs, dude. I think the Chiefs are a juggernaut. I think Cleveland is just outmatched in this one. Maybe I'm wrong about it, though.
Well, I like that Cleveland will be able, I think, to run the ball and maybe could keep the game close. But it does have a little bit of a David versus Goliath feel. The team that everyone thinks doesn't really belong in the Browns and benefited from the Steelers completely collapsing in the first half against the team that everyone thinks is supposed to win the Super Bowl. So it makes sense that we both have it ranked fourth. We'll talk about that game and all these games in more detail today and as we get closer to the end of the week. But those are the rankings of which we like most on the divisional slate. The question for you guys is, what's your favorite of these four games? Let's say you only got to watch one this weekend. You had to knock a bunch of items off the to-do list the rest of the weekend. Which would you pick to get your 3.5 hours of solidarity sitting on the couch to watch football? Grant and Danny on the Fan. I like that he threw in a "this is Brock" and then went back at the end to let you know who.
No, that's not true.
Just to make sure we all knew it. Attaboy, welcome back. Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. The AAA Always On Call listener lines are available for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The question is, what is your favorite of the four NFL games this weekend? Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Hypothetically, you only get to watch one. What are you choosing? The closest games by way of point spreads, the Ravens and the Bills, 2.5 points separating those teams. Buffalo is the favorite. The Bucs and the Saints, a 3-point spread. New Orleans at -3. Not surprised by the line that's 6.5. Packers favorite over the Rams. The line that jumps out at me, though, is 10, double digits in the division round. Doesn't happen that often. Even though I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Browns and they could roll, I would be intrigued at Cleveland +10 because they can run the ball, and time of possession generally means you can keep a team off the field offensively. I could see that game staying close enough that they could get a late score and within 10 on a backdoor cover. That's a lot of points this late in the season.
It's a huge amount of points, and you touched on the reason why. I do think if you're just lining up numbers, that Kansas City is 10 points better than Cleveland. Does that make sense? Like, Kansas City is a better team than Cleveland. If you gave them the same opponent, Cleveland would win by more points. Cleveland can do more. Kansas City can do more things than Cleveland can. But in this matchup, because Cleveland is so good at running the ball with that two-headed monster, maybe that's the strategy. Maybe that's the way to do it, just to slow some things down. Lower scoring game would say you could be within those 10 points even if you don't beat Kansas City.
So my favorite game, and it's not close, is the Ravens and the Bills. I would rank Lamar Jackson, without thinking long and hard about it, in my top three among just favorite players to watch in the NFL. Josh Allen is in my top 10, might even be in my top 5. But I got those two guys at quarterback, two of the players that I would most tune in for in any situation, let alone in a single elimination game now, a couple games away from the Super Bowl. I also love the angle of this Bills fan base that has been so tormented, finally got their first playoff win since the mid-90s. That group that jumps through tables and supports this team through thick and thin deserves this win. I love John Harbaugh and his staff. There's just a lot about this game that is easy to root for me. That's my number one. You're going with a matchup of two quarterbacks in their 40s who are the number one and two passers in league history.
41 and 43 years old, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, respectively. Here's why. I don't mean to take Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson for granted. Because, you know, we've seen how this game goes, right? You're always one play away. Just ask Robert Griffin and Haloti Ngata, right? You're always one bad moment away from your career being altered inextricably. But we don't have many chances to see these two guys left in this magnitude of a game. There's a rivalry between these two teams. They're division foes. I know that New Orleans has beat the brakes off of Tampa twice this season. Their most recent matchup, I think, was 38-3 in favor of New Orleans. Tampa, though, right now this minute, playing better than they were, I think, during those kind of times. They ripped off a few wins against some bad teams, fresh off their dismantling of Washington's pretty damn good defense in their own right, a nice tune-up for them. We probably don't have many chances to see two of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time with that kind of resume go at each other in a playoff game very, very often. It's like when Manning and Brady went at each other. There probably may have been better games on the slate sometimes, although not that often when those Colts teams and those Patriots teams got together. It was always the class of the AFC. But you see my point. There may be better games on paper. I just go, I probably can't watch this very many times again for the rest in my life, and I'm going to take advantage of this one. That's why I'm excited about it.
Let's mingle with the masses. You get to watch one game of the four this weekend. What is it? 800-636-1067. Line one is where we get going with Ben, who's in Rockville. What's up, Ben?
Hey, buddy. In all honesty, congratulations to the Midday guys. You guys honestly deserve it 100%. So congratulations, guys. In all honesty, I already told the call screener, I'm sort of stuck. It's in a tie, unfortunately, for me. For me, I'm going to be watching two games. I want the Browns. And I also want to see the Browns. And, again, they're one of the two. And then when you look at also the other game right there with
Browns. And, he's losing it. He's losing it.
I am, sir. But I have the Browns. And then you have another underrated team right there. It's the – see, I'm losing it. Browns is one of the two, but then also you have another game, too, that's very, very – the Browns and Bills. Ignored for years. Thank you, sir. But Browns and Bills, because they both win, the two worst teams for eons, and I like to see both of them, you know, win. And I can see either one of those guys facing either the Patriots or the Saints for the Super Bowl. I'd like to see either one of those teams win it just because they've been so horrible for so many years.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Boy. That,
it started really, really rough, I'm going to say. Came around there. Peaked at the right time. A little bit of the Baltimore Ravens to his game.
2019 Nationals there, if I can say that.
He started 19-31, but he was the last team standing. So very good phone call. In the end, Ben, if we were grading it halfway through, I don't know that I would quite say that. But we do appreciate the kind words, and we appreciate you picking up the phone. Yeah, so I get that, though. His point is it sounds like it's just because of the two teams that it's been so long since they were actually good and had a shot. I wonder, though, are more people around the country pulling for the Browns because they're the Browns? I kind of think of them as America's team in a way after Hard Knocks. Or are people going to pull for the Chiefs even though they just won last year because Andy Reid's a likable guy? Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league and people want to watch him more. What do you think? Who do people want to see win? I would imagine more people would still rather see the Chiefs beat the Browns than vice versa, even though we normally root for underdogs in this country.
So we're not at the point where we're exhausted. Remember when Golden State was starting their amazing run of a bunch of finals in a row, it was still cool. People wanted to see a repeat champion. And
you wanted
before
to see
the
Clay
worm
hit eight
turned.
Threes and Steph hit nine, so let's keep it going.
You kind of want to see Kansas City do something special. Now, yes, we get in 2 years when they're still 14-2 every year, have home field advantage, and they live in the AFC title game. People might get sick of them, but I don't think it's turned yet. I think people are still excited about Mahomes and this Kansas City operation, mostly because they're just so fun to watch. It's we're just biding our time until an 80-yard strike to Tyreek Hill happens. We'll throw a couple of things underneath, but we all know that it's coming in a second here. That offense is just such a blast to watch. I think people still like them.
Let's go to Bill and Lorton. Bill, the question is, you got four games to choose from. We need you to pick one. Hop off the fence for us. What's your favorite on the slate?
Hey, Grant, how you doing, Danny?
What's up, bud?
Doing well.
Okay. And yeah, Danny, I knew that Grant was my neighbor, and I...
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today. All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I just happened to be walking out of a store in Lorton one day, and we ran into each other and had a nice conversation.
Oh, all right. There you go. I remember, I think, meeting you around Christmas time, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good.
But I'm going to have to say, Grant, the most exciting game that you won't want to miss would be the Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. That's going to be a great one.
Why do you like that one?
Because Lamar Jackson finally got the monkey off his back. He finally won his first playoff game. He's a dynamic player. The Baltimore defense is playing pretty good at this time. And I just think this is going to be one of those down to the wire. Maybe who has the ball the last will win.
Appreciate you. Thanks for the call. Last week, that Ravens defense knew all week that it had to key on Derrick Henry. And they held him on just under 20 carries to sub 50 yards. I mean, what they did against him was pretty amazing.
It was great.
This week, it's a completely different task. The Bills are better throwing the football than they are running the football, especially now with an injury at running back. But the best player that they have is Josh Allen. Bill Belichick always made his money by taking whatever you do best and whoever your most elite weapon is out of games. And that's what they've been trying to do, right? That's what Wink Martindale wants to do. They did it with Henry. It's a lot harder to do it with a dual threat like Allen. You know, maybe they say, okay, Stephon Diggs isn't going to beat us. It's got to be somebody else in the passing game. But it's almost the opposite of what they had to do last week, where you could stack the box and beat a running back. It's a lot harder to do that when you got to defend the width of the field against a guy like Josh Allen.
I think Brian Daboll is getting the credit that he deserves. So this Bills offense hit a bit of a lull. John Brown was injured, and they were kind of missing some of that deep threat dynamic for a couple weeks, and they had some paltry totals. Tennessee's defense was atrocious, and they dominated that Bills team. Kansas City the following week, the offense couldn't really get going. Remember, they eked out a win against the Jets that they were trailing, I think, midway through the game, 18-10. Since then, look at these point totals. 44, 30, 27, 34, 26 against the Steelers, by the way, but dominated that game. 48, 38, 56. You see a trend there as they got down the wire to the season. They were figuring out, this is what Josh Allen does great, and we're going to maximize those opportunities. He is slinging the ball around, and he went from early season MVP candidate to forget about him, he's out of the race, to, as you mentioned, probably top three in the podium. I think Rodgers and Mahomes will have something to say about it, but what an unbelievable season he just had with close to 40 touchdowns through the air. Then you add him his running touchdowns together, by the way. He has that dynamic. Then you get well into the 40s. An incredible season. They're spreading it around. That offense is really, really hard to stop. A completely different challenge for this Ravens D this week.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. In 20 minutes, Nikki Javala of the Washington Post. She's been breaking a bunch of the news on who Washington is interviewing for its GM opening. So we'll talk to her to get the latest on that front at 3 o'clock. Next, we'll wrap up our calls on the best game this weekend in the NFL. And we'll set the table for the start of the NHL season. Hockey's back tonight. The Caps open their year tomorrow. You're listening to The Fan. If you are new to the show with us moving time slots, welcome and thank you. You've been with us since we were in middays. That is awesome, too, and you made this possible, so we greatly appreciate you guys. One thing you will get to know is we talk about whatever matters to you guys in the local sports landscape and whatever's going on. We don't avoid any of the teams. We can go deep and talk about any of the clubs you want to, and we watch the games at night and we care. And with that in mind, the NHL does start tonight, and so for a couple of minutes I wanted to quickly get into the Caps. I'll tell you that generally we don't talk a lot of hockey outside of the Capitals. Like if there's a big game in the Western Conference going on, you're normally not getting a detailed breakdown of it on Grant and Danny because just not enough of our listeners tend to care about that game, to be completely frank. But if the Caps are involved and there is news or there's anything interesting, you know, you're going to hear us analyze it on this show. We care about the Capitals a whole lot, and their cup run meant so much to this city. It was absolutely unbelievable and grew this fan base. But, Danny, you know that I'm a big hockey guy, and tonight there are three games to kick off the NHL season. You got the Penguins and the Flyers at 5:30 East time while we're still on the air. The Blackhawks and the Lightning play tonight in primetime, and then late night out west, the Blues and the Avalanche. So how closely have you tracked how they're doing this in the NHL this year?
So I've just sort of read in the periphery, so probably not as closely as I should. And I was going to basically interview you and get the skinny from you and pass it off like I knew exactly what I was talking about.
All right, so here's the deal, right? The season is abbreviated, so you're going to have what comes down to 56-game regular season play for each team. And the NHL is planning, if they can pull it off, to cram over 800 games in to over 150 consecutive days of hockey, basically. They've already got one outbreak scenario that they're dealing with where 17 players on the Dallas Stars have had a COVID issue among the 27 that tested positive on 9 different teams. So the Stars have had their first few games bagged already. But if there aren't cancellations, they'll play the 868 in the 116, I guess it is, consecutive days. The way that they've made this possible is Canada did not want teams traveling from the States into Canada. They put a stop to that and said, we're not doing that. So it looked like the NHL season could be off. They decided they'd realign for this season and they'd restructure the divisions. So you've got four divisions, basically, that they're calling the East, the Central, the West, and the North. All of the teams from Canada are in the North in that one division. Your entire 56-game schedule and the first two rounds of the playoffs are against the teams within your own division. This just allows for the East teams to not have to travel as much, same with the Central and the West, and that no one has to come to and from Canada. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So here's who the Caps are dealing with. I mean, this is a murderer's row, dude. Like, if you get out of your division this year as a champion, you earned it. And if you make the playoffs, you're battle-tested. Then you got to deal with a couple of those teams in the postseason in the first couple of rounds. It's going to be the Bruins, the Caps, the Devils, the Flyers, who at the end of last year peaked and looked like a contender. The Islanders, Barry Trotz, eliminated Washington. The Penguins, thorn in the side, rival for years. The Rangers, another one of the rivals throughout the years in the postseason. And the Buffalo Sabres, who the Caps actually open with tomorrow night. So all of their games are going to be played against those teams within their division. And their first couple of rounds in the playoffs will be against the teams that are still remaining out of the division.
That is
wild. So that's kind of how they're doing it. It is a crazy deal. It's makeshift. It's weird. It's quirky, but it was this or there wasn't going to be a year, which I think was on the table at some point, and I'm glad they made it work.
Well, yeah, well, Gary Bettman came out and said it'd probably be better for us financially if we didn't have a season, you know, or some kind of cockamamie thing. And somebody said, yeah, well, maybe some of the math works out where these teams are going to lose some money. And it was just, feel sorry for us. What a magnanimous gesture we're making to actually play the sport that everybody seems to enjoy. But,
right.
Yeah, I didn't really care for those remarks, but I digress. But, yeah, that is a challenge. I mean, you're defending cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, not in the division, but everybody else pretty much is a who's who of, you know, the old Eastern Conference. I mean, that is, as you said, a murderer's row of squadrons. So you're right, battle-tested for sure if you make it out of there.
I don't know how the Lightning end up in the Central and how that works. I guess
they're just very
too
central
many teams.
City.
Yeah. The other team that I'm really glad is not a factor for Washington is the Hurricanes. They just had I don't know why. It's a bad matchup. They have a hard time with Carolina. So it's not like this is now an easy path because you're still dealing with some of the best teams in hockey. But the fact that the Canes and the Lightning are not teams, especially the Blue Jackets, I'll throw into that conversation as well, that you have to deal with as much. I guess that's a small positive. A couple other notes that are interesting to me. You're basically not going to have any fans anywhere. The three teams I've seen that will have fans, interestingly enough, the Stars, and they're the team that already has the 17 cases.
You're doing great, yeah.
Everything's going smoothly there.
You guys got it.
Why not have some fans come hang out?
You know the what? I trust you. Go ahead.
You're doing it right. The Panthers and the Coyotes, so Florida and Arizona. Those three teams are the only clubs where they're going to have limited capacity at all as far as the numbers. A lot of people feel like this could be the year that you break the drought for a Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup. I didn't realize this at all.
How long has it been?
27 years.
No.
Isn't that nuts?
What? I guess because Toronto's 0 for a million.
Yeah.
Montreal, no, yeah. Vancouver gets to the finals sometimes, and boy, do they lose.
27, though, dude?
That's crazy.
I mean, that's just absolutely preposterous to me. So anyway, I thought that was crazy. And one other thing about the NHL this year that I got to be honest, I hate this. I'm not a fan of this. I probably will never notice it or think about it when I'm watching the game, but when I hear it, I kind of cringe. They have sponsored everything. Have you seen some of the stuff they're sponsoring now?
Yeah, this is a lot to deal with.
They have corporate sponsorships for their divisions, like the Scotia North, the Honda West, the Discover Central, the Mass Mutual East. I'm never going to refer to it as that on the show. I'm sorry. And then they have like advertisements on the helmets of teams. I mean, teams are talking about putting advertisements on sweaters. It feels very MLS soccer-y almost, like when I used to love the Washington Warthogs in the indoor soccer league. I don't even know what that thing was called. But it feels like that. Like there's just it's pro and then it's something that's lesser than that when you start to put advertising on stuff. And the NHL is going that route. So, again, I probably won't care about it when the year starts and when I'm watching the game tomorrow night against the Sabres. But it is one of those things when I hear it where I go, we're hurting for money that bad? It's like seeing one of your buddies. Like when someone leaves like 42 cents with like their $20 bill for the tip, and they're like, you're just going to leave that change there? And they like put it in their pocket. Like, you need that change? I don't have a
you
great
sure?
example, but there's just times where people do things and you go, is that going to help you at all? Well, are we hurting for money that badly? That's how I feel when I hear that you're putting a sponsor on a helmet.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I do what I normally do before we move to this time slot, but I got the Junkies on NBC Sports Washington. I'm working on my computer, just getting some things in a row. And my son was down in the basement with me watching television. And so the Junkies end, and he's still out there, right? And I come in here and do the show, and he's just out there kind of hanging on. And it was one of those like Premier League game repeats or something like that. So he didn't know it's a repeat. He was just casually watching for a couple minutes, and he's like, "Dad, who is AIG?" And I can't remember the name of the other sponsor. And I was like, what are you talking about? I think it's like Manchester United and like Fulham or something. He goes, no, look at their jerseys. And I realized the confusion. It doesn't even say the team name anymore. It's just a sponsorship right there on the chest. It's like one is like, this is where you bet. And then the other is like, this is where you keep your money if you want to save it versus each other in a soccer match. That's where we're headed, by the way. It's just you don't even see a team name anymore. You're like, the Hondas versus the Mass Mutuals tonight at 7. Are we? Is that what's happening?
We'll get you set for the drop of the puck tomorrow night between now and then on the show pretty thoroughly as Peter Laviolette, the new head coach, begins his tenure in D.C. But tonight is the start of the NHL season. So we got basketball back, hockey back, football winding down, and Major League Baseball spring training just around the corner. Next, Nikki Javala of the Washington Post. She's been breaking a lot of the news on some of the candidates interviewing for this GM job with the football team. We wanted to get the latest from her on who it looks like Ron Rivera could be zeroing in on. And where does Kyle Smith stand on this? Talk to Nikki next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.